I'm a greenie, but my main interests are not in East Gippsland. They're right in this room. For me, if I can make you wilder when you leave this room than when you came into it, I've done my job. And what I'm getting at, of course, is not angry, but less predictable to me. If I can make you less predictable to me when you walk out than when you walk in, I've done my job. And I'm very grateful for that. And I know with many of you, and I can imagine a very high proportion of you in this room, that is indeed the case. And that is enough thanks to carry me way beyond the grave. I'm very grateful for you all being here and taking that torch with you. So thanks for that.
G'day, Anthony James here for The Regeneration. Some of you might recognise that voice and even that clip. I have played it before on this podcast back in episode 50 with Hazel Henderson in the first anniversary special dedicated to my old mate and mentor, the legendary late Professor Frank Fisher. He'd be 79 today. That clip comes from his penultimate public appearance, not long before he died. 10 years ago now. The brain tumour was impeding his speech a bit by this point, but he had a packed house and overflow room riveted as ever that night in Melbourne. Bicycles were stacked up out front too, in its own silent tribute. Following Hazel Henderson on the honours list for these anniversary episodes was Alan Savory in 2020, and last year was Charlie Massey. This year it's the multiple best-selling author of Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Huckin, and this is Regeneration. We look at all those solutions, and every single one of them we want to do because they create a better life for people. And the pathway, the doorway, the gateway to reversing global warming goes through the path of the people who are paying the highest price.
I hope you enjoy this little tribute episode. It features the rest of the conversation Paul and I shared last week, featuring some fun and personal exchanges and even some outtakes for those who might listen right through to close out the year. We start with Paul's take on the US midterms. Then we get the early running on what's coming down the line with Project Regeneration. And there is plenty, including a global launch of a short film clip with an all-star cast on December 5. After that, we got talking about some of Paul's favourite episodes of The Regeneration. I'll have a brief update on the podcast on the other side of this conversation too. So see you then. For now, here's Paul. I'm conscious of getting to our wind-up time, Paul. I did want to have a brief word about the midterms. We get the news generally about the midterms, but I'm wondering about, that story that was written up in Dirt Road Revival with Chloe Maximum getting elected to the Senate from Maine. And as a woman who was educated in the city but went back to a rural area too, and then was elected, even in the US system, I say that without preferential voting and the like, on a similar modus operandi to our independence, of course, that we talked about last time as potentially changing our parliament down here, and they did a few months later in our federal election this year with 7 or 8 more and all women getting elected. Chloe did a similar thing. I'm wondering if there are, what your impression is generally of the state of play there, if there are other good news stories from our lens that are coming out of the midterms at this juncture?
Yeah, I think demographically, first of all, the assumptions of a so-called red wave that the Republicans would just sweep over everything and election deniers would be Secretary of State and then control the voting apparatus and all that sort of fear was basically the Republicans breathing their own exhaust. You read about it and you thought, and I think everyone I knew says, oh my God, I hope not, and accepted that it might happen. But when you look into it further, there's a lot more pollsters now who actually work for Republicans and they're Republican. And so the polls were coming out. There's many, many more polls now than there used to be. And, you know, saying the red wave, the red wave, the red wave, which is somebody said turned out to be a purple trickle. And so, and again, the polls weren't reading the people. And I would say the most interesting thing about what happened was women in Gen Z. Gen Z voted for the first time, really, in a presidential election. Uh-huh. And I mean, I guess some did in 2020, so to be appropriate. But I mean, Gen Z is a really interesting demographic who basically, I mean, I would typify it as saying, you know, they got here and going, what were you guys thinking? And then women, you know, and basically the Supreme Court just basically slapped women across the face. And so those two things, and they're not going to go away. And so I'm not sure the proto-fascism that seems so appealing and is appealing to a lot of people is going to persist or grow. And but I think it's important to understand why it was such attractive, why it's attractive. And it's attractive because in a time of stress, in a time of uncertainty, in a time of anxiety where, and you see this huge, you know, bifurcation of wealth, you know, where you just, the wealthy, the multi billionaires, even trillionaires, you know, are being prayed about and have their lifestyle and their boats and their yachts and their women and their this and that. And you're surfeited with that kind of information. I think, and even the advertisements themselves that you see on TV portray really happy people. They're very diverse, but they're very happy and they've got a new car and they got this and that. And they, all that stuff. Most Americans are hurting and economically and in terms of their health, in terms of the stress that's on them is enormous. And I think what's happening is that, and we have this hyper-individuation of people by the media and by advertising and everything that people hear, see, and read. And I think that then people felt alone. They felt like ignored. They felt that they lost out. They felt like they're not good enough. That something they did wrong. Why don't I have a new electric Ford 250? You know, why don't I have this and that? And why can't I go on the cruise ships? And, you know, all that sort of stuff, feeling like basically they got the short end of the stick. That is a loss of identity. And when you have that kind of loss of identity, then it's very easy for a demagogue or a populist or a proto-fascist to move in, because what they do is they tell stories that actually make you right and tell you those people over there, they're the ones who did it, are doing it, and they benefit, and they're doing it to you. And so you use, in, you know, in the 30s, it was Jews, and it's almost Jews again in America this time. It's just, you know, it's the liberals, the radical left, you know, the socialists, the drain the swamp. I mean, all these sort of things. And then on top of that, you layer conspiracies like, you know, the election was stolen and so forth. And the thing about conspiracies is they're very attractive to the same demographic, because they give people a sense of not only identity, but that they know something that you don't know, that they're on the inside and the world is on the outside, and they're going to stick to their guns on it, because it gives them a sense of meaning, of, again, identity and self-worth, which is so crazy because it's not coming from, it's bogus.
Yeah. Goes back to where we started, doesn't it? The trauma, the roots of it.
Yeah, and trauma. And people are traumatized now. They're getting more trauma.
Well, that's it.
You know, I mean, not less.
Yeah. So it requires more care, not less.
Exactly. And I think it also, one thing, and I've said this to people and it comes up, but people look at the last two books as, you know, climate solutions, you know, I say, you know, yeah, but the narrative is that we have to fix it. We have to solve it. If we don't, then terrible things are going to happen. And I said, you know, I'm not arguing that point from a scientific basis. You know, I wouldn't argue that at all. I think that's correct. But the thing is that we are looking at is if we're trying to solve climate crisis, solving the climate crisis. And in fact, if there wasn't a climatologist alive, we had no understanding of extreme weather. There was just like, well, it happened and we had fires and now it's flooding. And wow, we never saw floods like that before. I mean, just like whatever, it happened. We look at all those solutions and every single one of them we want to do because they create a better life for people. And the pathway, the doorway, the gateway to reversing global warming, it goes through the path of the people who are paying the highest price, the people who are living in impoverished conditions, the people who aren't paid properly, who don't have the schools, don't have healthcare, don't have good food, don't have food security, don't have security. That is where we should be focusing our attention. And that is how we're going to reverse the climate crisis, not by the privileged talking to each other and having bogus offsets and this and that and having net zero commitments in 2050, which means well, but means nothing at the same time. It's going to be through compassion and through heart and through care. And that is what Mother Earth is telling us to do. It's like, you know, you can keep acting that way, but that shit's going to happen. Until you stop acting this way. So really, I just say, look at these things. I'm not wanting anybody to suffer anywhere, but the fact is that these are a blessing, because they're really about waking up. And it's about, why are you here at all, given where we are and what's happening and how we're doing what's happening and how we're causing it. And so it's a beautiful koan question, query from our mom, the Earth, which is, how come you're here?
On that note.
Yes.
The Regeneration Project is picking up, I notice.
Yeah.
And more people coming in the team. The stories that come through the email bulletin, The Waggle, which is brilliantly named. It's worth Googling Waggle if anyone doesn't know what that is. I mean, there's just so much on the level of people getting the lesson, right? And trying to answer that question. There's so much going on, as ever, in the face of all these, you know, the old paradigm doing its thing still. There's so much.
Well, let me tell you what we're doing. One is that, in no particular order, we're working with Participant Media and do a 6-part series. Participant is the most lit up production company in the world. If you look at them, what they've produced, the movies, everything, it is just astonishing. It's going to be narrated by Amanda Gorman, who was the poet who read that poem at Joe Biden's inauguration, which just blew people away. African-American young poet. And we're working with the University of California, Irvine, I'm living in California and born here, and I didn't really think much about UCI. It's like, whatever. It's in Orange County, Purple County at best, and is one of the top science universities in North America, the only university to win a Nobel Prize for climate science. And it's just so many. The first Earth Sciences School in the world was UCI, Ralph Ciceroni, 1998, amazing climatologist. But I've been working with them, and they're going to start the first regeneration institute in a university or college in the world. But this is where it's different. And the students there, and I think it's students worldwide to one degree or another, but to a pretty much, you know, same degree, we talked about panic, stressed, worried, depressed, and meds, mental health issues, because of what they see in the world, and they just don't get it, and they're right not to get it. I mean, it makes sense.
Yes,
it doesn't make sense.
Right.
But the fact is that a lot of the anxiety comes from being in this university. They're smart, they wouldn't be there, but the fact is they look at the profession they've chosen or the major that they've chosen, and they're thinking about, when I get out, will this make any difference at all? And the fact is, most of them think, I don't see how it's going to make any difference. I may even get a good salary, but I'm a good salary in a world that's going down the tubes. And so the Regeneration Institute will be in all 14 schools.
There you go.
It won't be a silo.
Yeah.
It won't be between medical and engineering buildings, or you just go down there and it's just to the left. No, it won't have a building.
Hey.
Yeah. And then the Board of Regents, or the head of the Board of Regents, wants us to present to the whole Board of Regents. There's 10 campuses. The University of California system is the biggest university system in the world and widely acclaimed to be the best as a system, not as a university. And he wants it for the same reason, because students are having a really hard time getting their education and then looking to the right or left or whatever and going, and that level of anxiety yep. is not something you can just fix, you know.
Yep.
And then there's another university in, I won't name it quite yet, but it's in Europe, world renowned and respected science university, and they now want to incorporate regeneration into the thing. I speak to the board of advisors, which is like our board of directors, but the board of advisors on Thursday. We'll see. I think it will be. And once those universities do it, universities learn from other universities. And I think it's just a matter of time where, whether it's Monash or RMI or MIT, you know, others just do it because it makes sense to look at the world that way. Because really, in the end of the day, regeneration is a lens and a framework. It's not a body of knowledge. You know, we're all learning, the Haggertys and Charlie and you, and we're learning from the past, from people who understood the country, and, you know, and we were destroying it until we figured out that they actually knew. And so now we're listening to the right teachers.
Indeed.
So that's what's happening. And then we're creating, the Waggles are going to expand to be on the website as well. And we're inviting groups all over the world who are about regeneration, even if they don't use the word,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. But to post articles and pieces and so forth. And so it will change daily. And there'll be written pieces. And if it's written by somebody, then their name is there, their byline right there. It'll have a little picture. It'll have their organization. You can read it and go, I want to see, oh, that person's written 6 different things. I can read their body work that's on Waggle. You can see the organization. You can go to that. And then if it's regeneration, then you go, wow, oh my God, look at the 100 and some odd podcasts, whatever. But the point being is that so that those people who are wondering what to do and feel like they want to connect to the greater world of regeneration can do so. Everything we do on the website on Nexus, which is really the solutions by agency and the challenges by solution, goes to the Creative Commons. So anybody can take it and then localize it, regionalize it, no permission needed. Some people might screw it up. Well, okay. But either make it Creative Commons or you hold it tight and then check on everybody's work, which is really silly. So there's more, but
yeah.
So regeneration is definitely, and then I'm hiring a woman, beautiful woman of color, I think. We haven't closed the deal yet, but to take over my role. And so I want her to run the organization, not only for who she is, just colorblind, but also from who she is in terms of, you know, her experience as being a woman of color, which is very, very different than being a privileged white woman, but also the legacy. And I remember something that Hindu Amaru Ibrahim Seed said, and she's in the book about, she's a
yes, I remember.
Chadian Wudabi pastoralist, amazing woman. But somebody asked her about 7 generations. Do you plan and do you think 7 generations ahead, which is, you know, the Haudenosaunee thing in America? And she said, oh yeah, of course. She said, but you forget something, and that is that we know exactly what happened 7 generations ago. So we see ourselves as a continuity, and it would be anathema to break that link.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what people bring who come from these different, and this woman is Indigenous, and the woman she works with is Indigenous. The two are coming together. I mean, but again, it may not happen, but my intention isn't swaying.
Yes.
It will happen. If it's not these two, it'll be somebody else and so forth. But just to be a legitimately regenerative,
you know, we
really need to
live out what you're saying. Yep. And you are contemplating the podcast that I said could almost be daily a year ago. You're contemplating one of them too?
I just think we need you here, and obviously you're not going to move, but I just think that your podcast and you, and I remember being interviewed when you first started your podcast, so I have.
Very early.
And it's just astonishing. You know, not that it wasn't, I told you that this is the best interview I've ever had. I remember that was in Melbourne, was it 3 years ago or so? I forget.
4, maybe. Yeah, 4.
four years ago. Yeah. And just see, hey, yeah, the growth, but your growth and the breadth of knowledge and your connections and the respect you have for others and the way you're able to draw people together and ask really, you know, extraordinary questions to really extraordinary people. Yeah, we need something like that in the United States. And so you and I will talk about that offline.
We will.
It won't be me. Yeah.
No, you don't need to do everything. And that four-minute clip, the Regenerators clip, that's screened at the back end of Regenerating Australia. So a bunch of people in Australia have seen it.
Yeah.
Has that got its global launch coming, or has it happened, or where's that?
December 5th.
December 5th.
December 5th. Yes. Help us.
Yeah. So will this be like, will this be in cities everywhere and online at the same time? Like, how's it going to work?
Yeah, social media and groups will launch it. And eventually, I think next spring, it goes on the east side of the UN and goes on the Taj Mahal. But right now, just in December 5th, it goes around the world. And we'll just spread it out and say, everybody, don't send it out before.
Yes.
And, tomorrow. And we'll set it up so that you can't miss it in some level, strata of society. You're going to hear about it and see it.
Wonderful. Yeah. That was the end of our formal conversation. Well, as formal as my conversations get anyway. Here's some of our informal conversation that went a while longer. We talked about a few other episodes on this podcast, starting with the 100th episode, on location at Kachana Station in the Kimberley region of far northwestern Australia.
Well, I listened to that podcast, and I mean, it was like, what I loved about it was, I think that was the one about the mandate to kill off the mules.
Exactly. The donkeys.
Yeah, exactly. And just like, you know, roll your eyes, kind of bureaucracy stuff. But I listened to it and loved it because the descriptions of the place, you know, before and now and, you know, what was happening there, I just found it. It was one of those podcasts where, I mean, I was just entranced. And just the fact that an invasive kind of returned to herd and then became a symbiote to the land. Come on.
Yeah.
It's.
And do you know he's since won a Soil Health Champion Award, which the department backs. So it's like on the one hand, he's regarded as a champion. And on the other hand, the means of getting there, it's classic right and left hand bureaucratic thing. But hopefully it's a hopeful thing. Hopefully it does give another means of getting to where it needs to go because it's still in mediation. So there's hope.
God, I mean, I for sure want to see the Hagertys and where they're doing and, you know, the freshwater lenses, you know, and all that stuff. But it was that podcast where I want to go there. Mm. And I just thought, oh my God, you know, Anthony's so lucky. And, you know, what did he do? He must be a charmer.
I feel very lucky, I tell you. Yes, in humble service. But likewise to you, my friend. And, you know, just as a postscript, that podcast is now the second most listened to behind ours last year.
Behind ours?
Yeah.
Ours? Yours and mine?
Yep. Ours, then Kachana, and then Songlines.
Songlines was so important. I mean, that was a teaching, you know, and I mean, I have set-asides from you, and both of those are set-asides, you know, which is like, you got to listen to this again. You couldn't, Paul, possibly received and got everything that's in there in that one listen.
Yeah.
And it's not possible, at least in my brain.
No, I agree.
And so those are really, really brilliant. Really brilliant.
And people want to listen. What do you know? We're interested in this, eh?
What do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like stories are the only thing that's going to change people. Facts don't change people's minds.
Yeah. Great, Paul. All right. You got to cook dinner. I've got to go for a surf. It's amazing out there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. God bless, and we'll see each other sometime soon. I don't know where or how, but...
Yep, here's to that.
Okay.
All right, mate. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Much love.
That was multiple best-selling author, entrepreneur, and activist, Paul Hawken. If you've come here first, tune in to the main episode with Paul on regeneration, a year on, with a few links in the show notes there too. And affirming of Paul's key observation from the midterms... I later heard that Maxwell Frost became the first Gen Z member of Congress to be elected. On a platform that included addressing gun violence, universal health care, and climate action. I'll be taking a little break over the New Year period as usual once I get back from the tour with Zach Bush and friends. What a way to cap off another significant year that'll be. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you over there very soon. After that will be some rest with family. I hope you get some of that too, and I look forward to sharing your company again next year as we continue to regenerate the systems and stories we live by. Before I go though, a little update on the podcast. Firstly, I'm extremely humbled to be able to say once again this year that listenership of the podcast has more than doubled last year's high, clocking 200,000 plays for the first time in a calendar year a couple of months ago. And as you know, hearing from you about the value you're finding in this throughout the year, at times even life-altering, continues to be the biggest reward. As you also know, all this is only possible due to the support of a wonderful community of listeners. Very special thanks to all you subscribers, donors, and partners of the podcast for keeping the show going and growing through its sixth year. An enormous thank you to my Vic friends in particular once again for your extremely generous ongoing support. Special thanks too to very generous long-time supporters Peter, Lee, Edward, Nelson, Nutrisoil, Oliver, Damon and Paul, and to the rest of the 10 other regular donors. This year was also the first full year of the Patreon page. Huge thanks to the now 93 brilliant subscribers who've jumped on board. That includes two more of you this week. Katie Ross, thanks for your very generous support. And Nicole Brammy, thanks so much for your subscription too. Listener Jez, thank you for donating this week also. And Kat, thanks for subscribing so very generously till your income disruption this year. I hope things are smoothing out for you. And finally, thanks as always to Susie, Laura, Ben, and more recently Ange for your terrific in-kind support. I'm so very grateful to you all for all your contributions and support, and look forward to kicking on with you in 2023, including with a few new ideas. If you are able to join this beautiful community of listeners and of course enjoy additional benefits, you can do so via the website in the show notes, regeneration.com. Thanks a lot. And as ever, thanks for sharing the podcast with friends, family, and colleagues. One final announcement, the first change heading into the new year. I'm shifting host platform for the podcast. It's been a long time coming, really. SoundCloud has been my host platform till now, and it really isn't set up for podcasts anymore. The change shouldn't affect your listening in any way. It'll still be available where you listen to podcasts and on the Regeneration website. But if you do experience any glitches, this might be why, and will hopefully be short-lived. If you're following the podcast on SoundCloud, it'll still be available there too, just not hosted there. Again, just let me know if you notice anything go wrong, and otherwise, I hope you find a better experience in the change too, with clearer show notes, website player, and other benefits. Well, that's it for 2022. The customary highlights package for the year will be with you when I get back from the tour. Maybe some highlight releases over summer too. But as this will be the final word you'll hear from me for a while, I'd like to wish you all the very best for a wonderful festive season. And of course, a regenerative new year. The music you're hearing is Regeneration, with thanks to Amelia Barden, off the Regenerating Australia soundtrack. My name's Anthony James. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is Paul Hawken, and this is Regeneration. No, I said it
again. Now we're going to have outtakes. All the better.
Okay. You got three bad takes. Okay. Hi, this is Paul Hocken, and this is Regeneration.
Oh. Nice.
You want another one?
Go for it. One for good measure.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Paul Hocken, and this is Regeneration. I learned how to pronounce it.
It's in your head now. That's right. You can't get it out.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Paul Hocken, and this is Regeneration.
Bang.
Still rolling my eyes.
It's good.
Okay. That's it.
Good.
I don't think there's anything useful there. Maybe we can snip.
Oh, I'm so glad we did that.
Play them all.
That's great.